Learning tones is a unique challenge for most learners of Chinese. What are tones? How important is it to learn tones? And how do you learn to both hear and pronounce them? Hello and welcome to the Hacking Chinese podcast. In this week's episode, we are going to start a discussion about tones that's going to stretch over 3 episodes. This is because I've updated the Hacking Chinese Guide to Tones to contain basically everything I've written about learning tones. And no, I have not crammed everything into one article, it would be very, very long if I did that. But I have summarized the most important information and also added things that aren't in any of the articles. And when there is an article or podcast episode, I will of course link to it. So this is meant to be a portal, a guide to learning tones, not just for beginners, but for any student who wants to read up on tones and make sure they've understood things correctly. Naturally, learning about tones is not the same thing as learning tones, but I do think that it is worthwhile to spend some of your time understanding what tones are, how important they are, and also how to learn tones, so that when you do engage with the language, you will make more progress and stand a better chance of mastering the tones. Even though I have tried to keep the information in the guide relatively brief and then added links whenever necessary, it's still a very long article, and if I did one giant episode for the whole thing, it would probably be much longer than most listeners are willing to put up with, and there is also the added disadvantage that if you're interested in a specific part of the article, but not the entire article, it's kind of hard to find what you want in a 2-hour long podcast episode, so instead we're going to split this into 3. And in the first episode, this one, we're going to talk about what tones are. And then in the second article, we're going to talk about the importance of tones, so how important is it to get tones right, and what happens if you get them wrong. Then in the third episode, we're going to talk about the how of learning tones, so how do you learn to hear the tones, and also how you learn to say the tones, so the study methods that you can employ to master tones, regardless of your level. There might be a 4th episode at some point, and the article has a 4th section talking about resources, but since I want to make it easy to update this and make sure I have the best resources and can change that without making the podcast obsolete, I will probably wait a bit before recording that 4th episode. But you can always head over to Hacking Chinese and check the written article for the most up-to-date information and advice about learning tones. Before we start talking about what tones are, I have 2 announcements to make. First, to celebrate the Chinese New Year, there is a discount for 2 of my courses. First, it's Unlocking Chinese, the Ultimate Guide for Beginners, which is, as the title implies, a beginner course covering everything you need to know when you start learning Mandarin, or maybe if you're in your first or maybe even second semester, to make sure you haven't missed anything important. The other course is Hacking Chinese, a practical guide to Mandarin, which focuses more on upgrading the way you learn, and Unlocking Chinese contains that too, but it also contains more things that are specific for beginners, whereas the other course is more general in its scope. You can check out all my courses at hackingchinese.com/courses, and this particular Chinese New Year discount lasts until the end of this week. So if you're listening to this in the future, the course information will still be there, but probably not the discount. Second, I will open my pronunciation course for registration again on February 19th, and if you signed up for the waiting list, I will of course notify you when the course opens, but if you haven't done so and you're interested in the course, make sure to either sign up to the waiting list or check out the course page during that week. Learn more about the course at pronunciation.hackingchinese.com. Okay, let's talk about tones. So the goal in this episode is to explain what tones are in general and in Chinese. I'm also going to explain how the specific tones in Mandarin work, how they are pronounced and so on, and also some common pitfalls and problems that students encounter when they learn tones. So tones are differences in pitch that change the meaning of a spoken syllable. So for example, in Mandarin, the syllable ma with a high flat tone, as I just said it, means mother, but the same syllable with a low or dipping tone, ma, means horse. So we had the same syllable, but we used a different pitch contour for this syllable, and thereby changed its meaning. This might lead your thoughts to intonation, which is also about pitch, but still quite different. For example, in English, if somebody wants to ask you if you want something to drink, they might say tea, with a rising pitch indicating that it is a question. Tea? But when you answer this question, you will use a falling pitch and say tea, usually followed by please or something else to make it sound softer or more polite. So here in English, we also use pitch when we communicate, but this is quite different. Tones are about the basic meaning of words, and another word for this type of tone is a lexical tone, and lexical here means related to vocabulary and words. So if you use a different tone, it becomes a different word. So like I said, if I say ma with a high flat tone, it means mother, but if I say ma with a lower dipping tone, it means horse. This is not the same as the example I gave in English, because in the question tea and in the statement tea, these words still mean the same thing. They refer to the same hot beverage, regardless of which pitch you use. It's true that in one case it's a question and the other it's a statement, but the word still means the same thing. Still, as a beginner, I think it can be helpful to think of tones in terms of intonation, because that's something we have a good grasp of from our native language, even if it isn't English. And, for example, then having a rising tone, as in a question, so T, is quite similar to the second tone in Chinese, which also goes up. So, for example, ma would mean hemp. And a firm statement in English, T, sounds quite close to the fourth tone in Chinese, which is also falling. So ma, for example, means to scold or to curse someone. Before moving on, it's worth noting that Mandarin also has intonation on top of the tones, but I think it's unnecessarily complicated to talk about tones and intonation at the same time. So if you're new to the language, learn the tones first and then worry about intonation later. And if you want a quick tip for how to actually focus on intonation if you're not a beginner, do it by mimicking. Studying theory here is rather complex and somewhat difficult and might not yield very good results. But mimicking native speakers is always good, regardless of what level you are on. We will, of course, talk more about learning tones in the third episode in this series, but here we're sticking with the basics. Okay, so now that we know what tones are, let's continue with a discussion about the four tones in Mandarin. I have actually already introduced the four tones in examples, but let's look at them one at a time. If you want to look at fancy graphs that I designed to make this easier to absorb, you can check the written article on Hacking Chinese, but I think it should work fairly well just listening to this episode as well. Mandarin has four tones, and they are usually numbered 1 through 4, but these numbers are arbitrary and they don't mean anything beyond being labels for these tones. So the first tone is a high tone, and I will use the same example as before. So ma means mother. Ma, high and flat. And for most beginners, this tone sounds a little bit off. It doesn't sound like something that is spoken language. Maybe it belongs more in a song, or maybe when you go to the dentist and open your mouth to say ah. But actually pronouncing a word in a sentence with this pitch contour will feel a little bit unnatural when you start, but you will get used to it pretty quickly. Since this tone stands out a little bit and is the only one that has a flat pitch contour, it's usually not hard to identify or to hear when other people are saying it, but like I said, it can feel unnatural to say it. This is particularly true when you have two first tones in a row. So for example, feiji in Mandarin means airplane, and what many beginners do is that they can't stand having these two weird tones in a row, so they say something else. They change the first one or the second one. So don't do that, it really should be two high flat tones. Moving on to the second tone, which is a rising tone, and the example I used before was ma, which means hemp, ma. So this one starts somewhere in the middle and rises all the way to the top, ma. As I also mentioned, this sounds a bit like a single word question in English, so you can think of an air stewardess asking you if you want tea, and you will be pretty close to the goal. There are some common challenges with the second tone that we covered in episode 37, but one of them is that you start too high and then you run out of pitch range, you can't go up because you already are quite high, so if this is your problem, start a little bit lower. Another problem is that when you have a second tone towards the end of a statement in Chinese, you still need to have a rising tone, but your intonation from English tells you that you should fall, but you need to maintain the tone, it should rise even if it is the last syllable in a sentence. Next up, we have the third tone, which is usually just a low tone, ma. But in isolation, or when it's heavily stressed, it can also turn into a dipping tone, ma, with a rise at the end. But this is very rare in natural speech, and you're much better off thinking of it as a low tone, and this will also make some tone change rules that I will cover in a bit much easier to learn. If you want a full episode about only the third tone, where I explain why I really think you should think of it as a low tone and why this will help you immensely with mastering tones, you can check out episode 26. Finally, we have the fourth tone, which is a falling tone, ma, as in to scold or to curse, ma. Like I said earlier, this is a little bit like a firm statement in English, such as if you were to say no to a child about to do something moderately inadvisable, and not something that would actually be really dangerous because then you would shout, and the fourth tone is not louder than the other tones. Indeed, this is one of the most common problems with the fourth tone, because most teachers do like I did now, they use a firm statement in English to introduce the fourth tone, and when you think of a statement like no, it's also easy to make that louder, because if you want to stop a child from, say, running into the street, you need to be loud. But the fourth tone is not louder, you can say no with a falling pitch without raising your voice. To pronounce a clear fourth tone, start at the very top and then go all the way down, so ma. This tone can be sometimes hard to hear because it changes pitch in a similar way to the second tone, albeit in reverse. The second tone is a rising tone and this is a falling tone, and some students mix them up. We will talk more about how to learn to hear the difference between the tones in the third episode in this series. So those were the four tones in Mandarin, and if you want diagrams and native speaker audio to listen to, you can check the written article on Hacking Chinese. If this was the first explanation of tones that you heard, it might sound a bit complicated, but most beginners are able to learn the four basic tones relatively easily. I'm not saying it's super easy and some people struggle more than others, but this is rarely a problem in the long term. However, Chinese people don't go around speaking in single-syllable words. They speak in phrases and longer sentences, just like the rest of us, and that means we also need to understand how tones are pronounced in context. The best way to do this is through tone pairs, something we did discuss in episode 87 and that I will return to later in this series as well. But to put it briefly, Mandarin has a strong preference for two-syllable words, and if you learn to pronounce all the combinations of tones inside of two-syllable words, you will have mastered most of the tone changes and you will be well equipped to actually speak Chinese in the real world. Therefore, as soon as you think you have a basic grasp of the single tones, move on to tone pairs as soon as you can. Before we talk about how tones change in context, I want to say a few words about the neutral tone. Apart from the four basic tones, Mandarin also has a neutral tone, which is not a fifth tone, but rather an unstressed syllable that has no inherent tone of its own. What that means in practice is that it doesn't have a fixed tone, but it borrows its pitch from somewhere else, usually the preceding syllable, but it could also be related to intonation. Because the pitch varies, it's a little bit difficult to pronounce it on its own, so let's look at it in two words instead. The first one is 觉得, which means to think or to feel, 觉得. So the D here at the end has a neutral tone, 觉得. And you can hear it's shorter and lighter, and in Chinese this tone is called 轻声, which means the light tone, which I think is a pretty good word for it. The default pitch height of the neutral tone is a little bit lower than the preceding syllable in most cases. So here we had 觉得, so the D here is a drop from the top of 觉, 觉得. The same is true in the word for mom, which is 妈妈. And you can hear that the second ma is not stressed and that it has a slightly lower pitch. This works for the fourth tone too, so the word for dad is papa. And here we have a falling tone, ba, followed by a neutral tone, papa. And since the ba already falls all the way down, it's not really lower here, but it's still as low as the end of ba. The exception is the third tone, after which the neutral tone is usually higher. An example of this might be 椅子, which means chair, so you can hear that the e, it's low, e, and then you have 子, which is higher, so 椅子. You can also hear this in phrases like 好的, when somebody says something is good, so 好, low, and 的, higher, 好的. If you want to know more about the neutral tone, we spent the entirety of episode 114 talking about it, so check that out. As usual, I put links to these things in the show notes, but you can also check out the written article on Hacking Chinese, which is probably easier to navigate if you want to find a specific resource or read more. Next, let's talk a little bit about tone change and how tones behave in context. And we are pretty lucky here studying Mandarin because there are only a few rules you need to be aware of. Whereas if we studied Cantonese or Taiwanese, it would be a whole different story and there are so many complicated tone change rules and so on. But here we just have a few, so let's go through them. The first rule you need to be aware of is that when a third tone is followed by another third tone, the first one changes to a rising tone. And this is something you hear in the phrase 你好, for example. So 你 is a third tone and 好 is a third tone, but when you put them together, you don't say 你好, you say 你好, 你好. Also note that the third tone is usually low, as I said, so the tone at the end here is not a dipping tone normally. People don't say 你好, they say 你好, so it's just a low tone here, as it is in most other contexts as well. The exception then is if there is a third tone after it, in which case it turns to a rising tone. Another example might be 可以, which means can, 可以. Again, 可 is a third tone and 以 is also a third tone, but when put together it turns into 可以. And for those of you who haven't tuned into episode 26 yet, I would also like to mention here that if you think of the third tone as a dipping tone here and not a low tone as I recommended, you also need to know that in front of a first tone, a second tone, or a fourth tone, i.e. in most cases, the third tone is just a low tone, not a dipping tone. But like I said, it's almost never a dipping tone, so just think of it as a low tone and you will be safe. Here are some examples just to show what I mean. So 老师, teacher, is a third tone plus a first tone, so it's 老师, just a low tone, 老师. And as an example of a third tone plus a second tone, we can use 可能, which means maybe, and 可 here is just low, 可能, 可能, it does not rise. Finally, an example with a third tone plus a fourth tone, as in 想要, to want something, 想要. The 想 here is just low, 想要, it does not rise. If you thought this was confusing, you should definitely check out the episode about tone pairs, where I talk about this much more and in much more detail, and where you can also practice a little bit. Okay, so that was the first and the most important tone change rule in Mandarin. There is just one more you need to know about that relates to the words 一, meaning one, and 不, meaning no. So this rule does not relate to these tones in general, just these two specific words. But they are very common, so they appear all over the place, so you need to be aware of this tone change rule. If we look at 一 first, meaning 1, this is a first tone normally. This turns into a fourth tone in front of anything but a fourth tone. When it appears before a fourth tone, it becomes a second tone instead. This sounds hard to remember, but it's actually quite easy, because you don't want to have two fourth tones in a row, so that's the only exception, and then it's a rising tone. For example, if you want to say that two things are the same, you can use the word 一样. So it's 一 followed by 一样, and 一样 has a fourth tone, so that means that 一 has to become a rising tone, 一样. To contrast this with something else, if you want to say you do something together, you say 一起. So the 一 here has a falling tone, because afterwards the 起 is a third tone, and then 一 is a fourth tone. I also mentioned 不, which means no or not, and this word behaves in the same way as 一. The difference is that it's originally a fourth tone, but otherwise the same rules apply. So when you have two fourth tones in a row, so for example, if you don't want something, you can say 不要. And the 要 here has a fourth tone, and thus the 不 has to rise, and it becomes 不要. Exactly the same way as 一 behaved, in other words. In all other cases, though, it just remains a fourth tone, so if we were to use, say, a third tone after it, as in not good, 不好. You can hear it's still a falling tone. I realize that if this is the first you hear about this, you will not be able to learn this just by listening to me here. That is not the intention. I'm just describing what the rules are so you are aware of them. In episode 92, we talked more about obligatory and optional tone change rules, so you can check that out. But as I've said before, the purpose here is not to teach you how to actually say these tones. That will take much longer, and this is just meant to be an introduction to them. And in the third part in this series, we will talk about more how to actually learn to hear and say the tones. This means that we have almost finished the discussion about what tones are in Mandarin, and there's only one more thing I'd like to mention, and that is how tones are written down. This is something I talked about in much more detail in episode 102, but the most common way of writing tones is using diacritic marks, so that's a mark that's put over the main vowel in the syllable. So to indicate the first tone, we would use a straight line indicating that it's high and flat, and to write the second tone, we would use a stroke that tilts upward because the tone is rising. To write the third tone, we use a little V sign to indicate the lowness, or the dip if you will, but like I said, think about it as a low tone instead. If you thought this was confusing, you should definitely check out the episode about tone pairs, where I talk about this much more and in much more detail, and where you can also practice a little bit. And to write the fourth tone, which is a falling tone, you use a diacritic mark sloping downwards. A problem with these diacritic marks, even though they are fairly intuitive, is that they are tricky to type. So another way to indicate tones is just to write the number of the tone. So if you were to write the word 中文, meaning Chinese, you can write 中文 2. So 1 first tone, 2 second tone, and so on. If you read more in-depth discussions about tones and pronunciation, this is really not enough, because for example, we can't say what somebody's doing wrong by just giving a number here, and we can't indicate exactly what the pitch is supposed to be like either. One way to get around this is of course to use diagrams, as I have in the written article on Hacking Chinese, but you can also represent this using numbers again, but this time not to label the tone itself, but to give the pitch height directly. So you do this on a scale from 1 to 5, where 1 is the lowest tone and 5 is the highest. So again, if we use the example of 中文, 中 here is a high flat tone, so it would be 5-5. It starts high, it ends high. And Wen is a rising tone, so it starts in the middle, 3, and goes all the way up to 5, so 3-5. Another way to indicate tones is to use colors. So you let one color represent one tone, and this has certain advantages, but also certain disadvantages, which I talked about in episode 34. I think those are the most common ways of writing down tones, but if you want a more complete picture, you can check out the episode called 7 Ways to Write Mandarin Tones, which was episode 102. This brings us to the end of this episode and the first part in this series talking about tones. And next time then we will talk about the importance of tones, which can be rather hard to grasp intuitively, even if I can tell you that they are very important. So that's it for part one. See you in part two. Thank you for tuning in to the Hacking Chinese podcast. If you like this episode, please share it. More information and inspiration about learning and teaching Chinese can be found at hackingchinese.com. See you in the next episode, and until then, good luck with your studies!